Okay, first of all, I want to thank Gwen for coming in. It was very nice.
Very well done, and Rev Nuriel for coordinating it. It's going to be a great tool. Okay. Guys, this topic owes, I think we owe it to Big City Horowitz. I think it was Amy Horowitz who suggested it. Good topic. Okay, so let's see. It starts with a father's obligation to his children. It is a very famous Gemara in Kiddushin. Some of you probably did in high school. The Tanur Bana, Ab Chaya Bivno, what are a father's obligation to his son? Lemulo, he has to arrange for Brit Milah, Lifdoto, Pidyon HaBen. Okay, who here has been to a Pidyon HaBen? Oh, see, it's not so common. Okay, we'll see. Discuss another day why it's not so common. Ulamdo Torah, teach him Torah. Lasil Isha, help him get married. Ulamdo Umanut. What's an Umanut? A trade. Okay, so those are the five basic responsibilities of a father for a son. Brit Milah, Pidyon HaBen, teaching Torah, help him get married, and get a trade. The Yeshuim, some say, Akla Shitu Bamayim. I always find that intriguing. Like maybe part of being a responsible individual, you have to swim, right? There's water in this world, you might have to navigate it. So maybe that is also responsible. Okay, great. Let's focus on Brit Milah for a second. Bamulo Minayin, Minolan. What's the source that Brit Milah is on the father? Now, this is quite interesting because where is this being derived from? Something that the Avot do. It's an interesting question. Should we derive halachic details from pre-Matan Torah narrative? And here we seem to be doing so. Because if you look at Brit Milah in the Torah, where does Brit Milah come up? I know where it comes up in post-Matan Torah? Where does Brit Milah come post-Matan Torah? We'll see if there's Bar Mitzvah Parsha. Yeah, Simon?
Before they went to land.
That's in Sefer Yoshua, though. Right? Where does it come up in Chumash, post-Matan Torah? Yeah? Not in narrative, just in Mitzvah. Okay, not in narrative. Comes up in the beginning of Parsha Tesriya, right? Yishak Tesriya B'Yodah Zachar. Right there, it talks about a Brit Milah. So you might have thought that's the only halakhic source of Brit Milah. No, apparently, if you go back to the Avram story and derive details, if Avram is the one who gives a Brit Milah to Yitzchak, apparently it's the father has the primary obligation. Okay, what if the father defaults? So it says, Vehecha delo mala avua, mechaiva beitin al mamalai. Who's second? The beitin, tichtel himolachim kol zachar. Vehecha delo mala beitina. What if the beitin also defaults? Mechaiva iu lamil nafshe. What's the third one? It's on who? The person himself? Okay, obviously, when the person is 6 years old or 8 days old, for that matter, they're not responsible. At some point, they become responsible. They're the adult. Okay, so what's the order again? Father, then Beitin, then the person himself. Okay, let us now go to the Orzerua. Orzerua was a German Rishon. Okay, Rav Yitzchak, I think he's from Vienna, if I remember correctly, actually. Okay, so let's see what he says here. So he has an interesting chumrah. It's very interesting because this is known as the chumrah of the Shach. That's how everybody quotes it. And I didn't realize until preparing this year, I learned something good, that the Shach is not the first person to come up with it. Okay, I don't know why the Ozeru lost out in Jewish history. I guess the Shach is more well-known than the Ozeru. It says, Rehecha Sha'av Yodei Olamu. What if the Abba is a good mole? I admit most of us in this room do not know how to do a Brit Milah. What if you happen to be both father and mole? What happens then? Asur lo laniach lachar shimu lefanav. That's pretty strong. Okay? The Gemara just said, Abba comes first. What does the Ozeru think? If you know how to do it, you can't give it over. Okay, does that sound what you'd expect or totally what you'd not expect, guys? Okay, so Joseph says it makes sense. It's the father's mitzvah. Why would you have somebody else do it? He should be the one to do the mitzvah. Okay, anyone to try to argue against that? Why that really shouldn't be right? That should be okay to give it to someone else? Yeah, Jordan? I mean, is there a paradigm for Joe's thing? Huh? So is there a paradigm for Joe's model?
I'm saying you can.
For example? Very good. So Joe Stan says, wait, don't we have a concept called shlichut? Halach has a concept of agency. And often there's a concept of agency, that means I could have somebody do something for me. And we think, okay, case where you can make an agent do something? Yeah, how about getting married? Right? Times of Gemara, right? Travel was difficult. Very often, how would you do an act of kiddushin? Right? You'd send some next town with the money and he'd marry somebody for you. Right? The shliach's not married to the woman, you're married to the woman. Right, divorce also, like it might be a way, let's say they're separate, not living in the same town. I know even today a lot of rabbis have done this. I know in case where like someone had to fly to Canada to get the get, and then bring, the person makes them a shliach, they bring it back to America, and they take care of the divorce that way. So there is shlichut. So it's an interesting question, why shlichut doesn't work here? Okay, once we're discussing Canada. So Kobe Mole. Okay, so Kobe is a, we all know he's Canadian, but it's also surprising how attached he is to America. Actually, one might say he's a dedicated patriot, in fact. Okay. Okay. All right, so let's go on. Okay, let's go on to Martin Clue. Okay. Let's go to Martin Clue. There's a very interesting case coming up in Chul. Okay, there's a mitzvah called Kisui Hadam. Okay, what's the mitzvah Kisui Hadam? After you shecht an animal, somehow you cover the blood with dirt. It's interesting, why? Are we somehow, Justin, this is good for you. Maybe we're somehow disgusted by the idea of killing animals, we have to cover the blood up shamefacedly. But it's really interesting, they're not getting to right now, which animals it applies to. Everyone happen to know? Very good. Chai and Ofen, not behemoth. That's quite striking. Getting to like how to work out the deeper theology of halachic details. Like, why if I shecht a chaya, like a more wild animal, I have to cover the blood? But if I shecht a behema, a domesticated animal, I don't have to. So I'm not going to get into it. If anyone's curious, Rav Cook has a long essay on Tanya Mitzvah where he makes a suggestion. Okay, but in any case, let's go back over here. Tanya Idach, I'm in source 3. The shafach v'chisa, the pasuk says you spill the blood, i.e. you shecht the animal, and you cover the blood. What do you derive from that? Misha shafach, hu yechasen. Apparently, how does it work? It's not two separate mitzvot. It's A, does shechita, and B, does kisui, but rather, the chiyuv to do kisui is incumbent upon the person who spilled the blood, the person who did the shechita. Okay, great. So that makes sense. Next. Masa bechad sheshechat. Ah, now everything's getting excited. Okay, someone said they liked my formulation. Oh, where's Yomi Schwartzman? I was trying to be like how to say it, but someone steals your mitzvah. So I finally said, oh, someone jumps in and performs the milah. Okay, so here we go. What happens? V'kadam chaveru v'chisa. What happened here? Oh, a mitzvah snatcher. Right, you shech the animal, the blood's there, you're reaching for whatever implement you use to get the dirt, somebody else runs in and does it ahead of you. Right, guys, his benamah makam is better than his benamah chaveru. And he covers the dirt. What happens? Chayvo ravilitemu asara zuvim. Quite fascinating. What do you have here? Sounds like there's a monetary fine for mitzvah stealing. It's kind of interesting. We put a price on it. Oh, how much is a mitzvah worth? 10 gold coins, right? That's how much a mitzvah is worth. Now, I would suggest, someone was bothered by this, and we kind of put a price on mitzvah. I would suggest, actually, it's not just me. I have a proof for it. This guy's, file this away for your general Talmudic knowledge. There's a difference in payment in Gemara between what I would call mamon and knas. Okay, mamon is compensation. Knas is a fine. Okay, what's a normal case of mamon? What kind of things would be mammon? Yeah, if I steal your item, I've caused you a loss. I have to compensate. That'd be mammon. If I break your window, what would that? Mammon or knas? Mammon, right? So if I caused you a loss through theft or through damages, that would be mammon. Let's say for the sake of argument, our society decides to, I don't know, charge $25 for jaywalking. Okay, is that mammon or knas? That's obviously knas. Like, there's no loss involved, but we want to put a payment, on a punishment on a certain endeavor in society. There could be a case, oh, this is a good question for thought. There could be a case where there's both mammon and knas. Can anyone tell me a case in halacha when there's both mammon and knas? Jordan Cohen.
Injuries.
Okay. Why do you think it's both mammon and knas? You might be right, but why do you think so?
Mammon because you have to compensate for the work he's about to lose, and knas because for the like, things that embarrass him.
Okay, interesting. A very interesting question. Okay, you should go learn the 8th paragraph of Bava Kamma. Way to go, Jordan. Yeah. Very good. Go, it's over time. Excellent. Ah, Simon Ganellis, future scholar of Israel. Okay, in a case of theft, what do we say classically? You pay back the principal, and you pay what's called? Kefil, right? Double. Right, so in that case, obviously the principal is mammon, and the extra payment would be knas. Okay, so in general halacha, again, there's good far away those categories, and there'll be a lot of halachic differences between paying mammon and paying knas. So here, I would point out, we're going to see later explicitly, what do you think this is, mammon or knas? So I'm going to suggest that it's knas. Like, it's true you've taken something away, but it's not really true that you could put a price on a mitzvah. You can't really say, oh, look at the guy's, like, spiritual bank account. It is now 10 gold coins shorter. Like, I don't think you could view it that way. To me, it makes more sense to call this a knas, not mammon. We don't like that kind of behavior. We don't like you jumping in and stealing someone's mitzvah. So we fine you. It's not really compensation in that kind of direct sense. Okay? Yeah, Simon.
Also, don't you have the principle that like a reward for a mitzvah is a mitzvah? So that would like also.
Okay. We're good? Okay, so let's, the Shulchan Aruch just, okay, no, it was fine language, it's bad, just enough he did.
Yeah.
Okay, so let us go to the Rush. Okay, I'm skipping the Shulchan Aruch, we're going to go to the Rush. Okay, so now the Rush is going to say, oh, that's an interesting principle, that if you steal someone's mitzvah, you pay 10 shek, 10 gold coins, right? I've been going to Kofik's too often. Okay, so so now we're going to try to figure out, would that apply? Wait, someone just told me, by the way, who told me that a lot of Kofik's has moved to 6 shekel? Kofiz, not Kofik's? Okay. But not the one in the old city, which is remarkable, because we should be like more expensive than everything else. Okay, wow. It's also really inconvenient, because like it doesn't divide by 5, that's it. What a bad move, bad move. Okay. All right, so let's go to the Rush. Joe, what's going on? You can sit down, it's okay. Make yourself at home, take your coat off. Okay, let's go. So what about if we move it to Brit Milah? Now, most of us don't know how to Brit Milah. So here's the dad. Dad says to the Moel, oh, could you maul my kid? V'kadam achir v'malo. Pretty remarkable case, right? A third party jumps in, grabs the baby, and does the Brit Milah. Now, I realize it's not so practical, guys, but we're going to learn the principle anyway. It's okay. This is not like halach l'masa, right? This doesn't usually happen. Okay? V'tava rishon shemalo av l'molo menashen yasar zum. Now, this is interesting. Okay, who we got again, guys? We got Abba, chosen Moel, and the maverick Moel who runs it, right? So, what did the chosen Moel say? You stole my mitzvah. I learned that Gemara in Chulin. When you steal someone's mitzvah, you have to pay this fine of 10 gold coins. You owe me 10 gold coins? That was good. So, you know what I just realized? Oh, that's pretty funny. I was just telling you this would never happen. It actually sounds like it did. Right, this is not like a theoretical case. It sounds like the Kesher came before Ben Utam. Right, you ever said it? It's amazing. That happened in evil France. People just like grabbing babies and giving them Brit Milahs. Okay, so let's see what Rabbeinu Tam's pshat is. Upatra Rabbeinu Tam. What did Rabbeinu Tam say? Nothing good. Now, why not? Just like you steal someone's kisei adam, you steal someone's mila. Why didn't you have to pay the 10 gold coins? So look at the argument. It's a little bit unfair because this line, if you never in public comment, is basically impossible to figure out. But I'll tell you what it is. Okay? Outside of Israel, the courts did not have the same status. And the question was, what kind of cases should we allow the courts outside of Israel to try? And when they would try cases, they would get their power from the Israeli courts. So that's called Shlichu Tayyar. We are the agents of the courts in Israel. Now let's go back to my Mamun Knas split. What would be crucial for society? That the courts, everywhere in the world, should have the ability to try cases of? What's more crucial for society, Mamun or Knas? Mamun for sure. They can't have a society where I could steal your stuff or break your windows and you don't get compensated. But you could have a society without fines, right? If no one has to pay kefal, life will go on. If jaywalking doesn't cost any money, life will go on. So they said, you know what? We'll only do case in Babel if there's chisaron kiss. What does chisaron kiss sound like?
Loss of money.
We can't have people losing their money. So then there'll be shlichu tayu. Again, shlichu tayu means the courts in Israel authorize the Babylonian courts. Okay, with that in mind, let's see all the arguments, guys. Let's list arguments. Why do Rabbeinu Tam think you're exempt? Okay, here we go. To call me the let be chisaron kiss, if there's no loss of money, lo avdin and shlichu tayu. What's his first argument? Why is Rabbeinu Tam saying pater? Because this is the kind of thing which the courts outside of Israel don't have jurisdiction. By the way, this proves what I said before. This proves what kind of payment is this? It's not really compensation. If it was really compensation, there was real loss, you might say, we should do shlichu tayu. Right? No, it's not really compensation, so life will go on. We don't try such cases in medieval France. That's Rabbeinu Tam's first answer. V'afilum tafas, even if the guy grabs the money, mafkina me, we'll take it away from him. You can't grab money. But now, I hope you guys notice this, without telling you he's doing so, he kind of subtly moves to a different argument. Or not so subtly. The cave on, all right, remind me later, I'll tell you a funny story about subtlety. Okay, I'll tell you right now. Okay, I tell you, this has nothing to do with the shir, guys. It'll tell you, like, we think we're so clever in Southern Life, we're not so clever in Southern. Okay, so a lot of alumni are visited last month, right? So we had a lot of alumni in a little, right? So we had a lot of alumni in Lindemann also. So I'm giving shir, and 4 alumni are sitting in the room. And I realized at some point that I remember 3 of their names, and one's name I can't remember. And I've already used 3 names, so it's hard to, like, now get out of it. So I was trying to figure out what to do. So I said to one of them, in the middle of the year, like, okay, I talk to you outside for a second. Like, don't worry, you're not in trouble. So she came outside, and then I asked her what the other one's name is. I came back. Of course, it was obvious. I was going to do it right away, right? Yeah. So I waited like 5 minutes, then used the 4th one's name. And I thought that was really clever. Like, I did a great move. About 2 weeks later, like, someone in the class, it came up, And I explained to the class what I did, and we all agreed that was very clever and it worked. But wait, there was one girl who was in my first class when I did it and not there when we had the conversation about it. So yesterday it came up again, and she said, oh yeah, the second you went out of the room, she said, oh, he doesn't remember my name, he's asking Shelby what my name is. Okay, so guys, we're not as subtle and clever as we think. Okay, all right, so let's go. So rush answer number one, we are, don't have jurisdiction in France. That is a little remarkable svar. What's the second thing he's saying? Why is it okay that Y stole X's mitzvah?
Because he figured out how he gets to
say amen. Yeah, you didn't lose out, and saying amen is a great thing. Okay, he physically did the milah, but when he made the bracha, you got to say amen, so it's almost like you were there, you were a participant, you were part of the mitzvah. Okay, the imlu on amen, and what if he didn't answer amen? Iyu de afshed anafshe. What's iyu de afshed anafshe? Yeah, it's your own fault, you should have answered amen. Now, I have to admit, this is a very difficult svar for me. This requires its own analysis. This seems to give a tremendous amount of weight to answering amen. I would have thought answering amen is a very nice thing, but it's not the same as actually doing the mitzvah. Right? It sounds like a bit of time thinks, oh, you didn't really lose out so badly. Okay, it's got two, right? A bit of time think you're putter, either because you really should be chai, but we don't try these cases in Babel/France, or amen is good enough. Joe?
Should this be the one making the bracha or the mitzvah?
I assume that the guy who's the baby snatcher is the one who made the bracha. Right? Yeah. Well, what are we saying? But the chosen one could have said amen to the bracha. That's the point.
Yeah.
He didn't really lose. He could just say amen. He's part of it.
No, I was thinking that second one is not the shliach of the
Harbi. We're going to discuss that right now. We're getting there. Yeah. Moses Bibi.
I feel like that's under the assumption, though, that the chosen Mohel is present when the baby's snatcher.
Yeah, correct. You're saying the case didn't have to be that way. Right, you're right. I guess in this particular case, that was the case. You're right, though. Okay? Now let's go to the rush. Jacob.
Maybe the job of the shliach is just to make sure that the baby is circumcised and that it's all under his control. So by him saying amen, he's still doing
that. Jacob, guys, hold off your svar for 25 minutes. Okay? We'll come back to the end of the show. That's a very clever svar. Yeah, Midrash Max.
If a maid carries so much weight, then why would the father have to do it himself and not just answer amen? Why does so much
I mean, there's a rule.
Yeah.
Look, we haven't explained those yet, but not even agrees with those rules. But you're right, that would make it difficult. Okay, we'll come back to that in a moment. Okay? So the rush himself is going to take a different track. Look at the rush. Ubelav hanach tame debenu tam. What's belav hanach tame? Even? Anybody? Any other? Belav hanach tame? Or hanach? Uri? Eifel hametz gezer? Okay. I shouldn't have asked that. Now I'm encouraging you to just leave 10 minutes from now. Okay. Hanach is these. Ubelav hanach tame. Without hanach tame. These reasons to bear tam. I don't need those reasons. I don't need the amen factor, and I don't need the shlichutayu factor. Nearly the star amol. Why you potter? Davel pishamer av lamol achel lamol beno. Even though the Abba gave it to the chosen mohel. Here's the key line, guys. Lo zacha botah mitzvah. That is remarkable. What's Rabbeinu Tam's the Rush's claim? When the father picks somebody to moel, what does not happen? Well, forget Shlichut for a second. It doesn't become his mitzvah, exactly. There seems to be an idea that you have possession of a mitzvah. You have rights to a mitzvah. What happened? Let's just read one more line just to clarify the point. The low dummy, it's not like Kisui. Dummy tam shav chasem yishav yechaseh. Okay, here we go. Now the Rush has said a good svar that gets the whole ball rolling here. Says the Rush, what's true about Kisa Hadam? I'll say it this way, guys. There could be possession of mitzvah, and there could be mitzvahs that no one has possession of. Like, let's say there's a poor person in the community. All right, someone should help the person. But there's no one who, they are the address for, it's my mitzvah, not yours. If there's a poor guy in the old city, and Moses Bibi gives money before I do, I can't complain. Right? It's not my mitzvah, it's not his mitzvah. Okay. When is that not true? So does Kisrei Adam have a possessive quality to it? Yeah. Yes, because what was the drasha? The shochet is meant to do the Kisrei. So if it has a possessive quality to it, you could steal it. Okay, what's the claim of the Russian Brit Milah? When would it apply, when wouldn't it apply? If the mole's going to be... When would there be a possessive quality? If the mole's going to be... The father, you could have Right? The Torah says, we spoke in the Gemara Kiddushin, the father has rights to the milah. So if the dad's going to do it, and the maverick mole steps in, the fine applies. But the second the dad has given it over to somebody else, what does the rush think? Why does somebody else stand out? What makes gives him property rights to the mitzvah? He's not the dad, he's just a stranger. So basically there's no difference between stranger one and stranger two. So the rush makes things split, right? If you steal it from Abba, then you've stolen someone's mitzvah. If you steal it from some other mohel, you haven't stolen anybody's mitzvah. So why would you pay? Okay, so that's, again, this great shift. That might remind us what the Ozrua said. Again, remember what the Ozrua say? If dad's the mohel, he's not supposed to give it over. There seems to be like this dramatic split between dad actually performing the milah and somebody else, right? And here's another version. Dad has property rights, somebody else does not. So like, that comes in 1 second. That's when we got all the three arguments down. Rabbeinu Tam's two arguments. We don't have jurisdiction in France. And you said amen. The Rush, more fundamental argument, it's not the other guy's mitzvah. Yeah, Jordan.
What about when the Ozrua talks about, like, someone not the Israel at the Rishuda about it? How can someone jump in and take it over the Shaliyah?
Look, how could he practically, or what's the question?
Well,
there is, this gets a little bit to what Jacob, actually, we'll leave Jacob kind of scarf at the end. There is a practical in Bermila. I mean, if the kid has a meal, it's been done. What are you supposed to do? Like, somebody jumped in and did the meal, and the kid has a meal.
Why does no one suggest maybe that the father
gets? Ah, so you're on the right track. I think someone is going to suggest it, but you'll see why shortly. Yeah, Joe.
I'm just asking, if somebody's a shliach for a mitzvah, would they make a brahma?
If someone's a shliach for a mitzvah, well, it depends what kind of. Can we wait and see? Where shlichut applies? Ask me that question a little later. Okay? All right, any questions on that so far? Great. We're not going to do the shach inside. I'm just going to mention very briefly who the shach was. Okay, the shach is Rav Shabtai HaKohen Rappaport. Okay, he lived in the 1600s and wrote a parish on Shulchan Aruch on Yoredei and Choshen Mishpat. So one interesting side note about him, there's something called, all the Kohanim in the room, guys. All the Kohanim. There's something called being a Kohen Miyuchas. You ever hear that phrase? Like, the real status of a Kohen is if you could trace your lineage back to someone who did Avodah in the Mikdash. Because then we say, then we're sure they were Kohen. Now, the general assumption today is that nobody has the status of Kohen Miyuchas. Okay, which means, okay, we kind of assume you're a Kohen, but we're not 100% convinced that you're really a Kohen. Okay, the Shach, by the way, claims that he was a Kohen Miyuchas. And that's pretty recent, from the 1600s. So that's kind of an interesting sidelight about the Shach, right? I guess that's why his book is called Siftei Kohen. Oh, double O, you okay? He's not feeling well, I shouldn't bother you with this. You know where that phrase comes from, Siftei Kohen?
Something by Fayekla?
No, it's Nach.
Nach. Well, give me a hint.
Can I give you a hint? Okay. It's in one of the 12 minor prophets. How are you on Triassa?
I'm finishing up a lot of debt, so...
Okay. Where's Yoni Schwartzman? How are you on Triassa?
Just starting
Triassa. All right, we'll come back to you in a month. Okay. Guys, it goes look it up. It's a beautiful bus. Siftei Kohen. Okay, so the Shach agrees with Ezrua. What's the Shach's pshak? That if the dad's a Moel, we saw that at the end of the Shach, he should not give it over. This usually causes the Shach's position. Okay, so we've got the Shach and the Ezrua saying if dad's a Moel, he shouldn't give it over. Let's now go to source 7. Okay, now we can get to we talked about a couple weeks ago, right? The Ktzos is a very, very famous Lamedish Sefer. Kind of striking. We're doing two Ktzoses in like a 3-week period. Okay, again, it's Rabbi Aryeh HaKohen Heller. Okay, let's see what the Ktzos says. And here it's mentioned, there's a Sefer on Shkita called the Tzvuot Shar. I don't open it, own this. This is actually Yitzi Shapiro's copy. I'm trying to figure out what to do with it. But we're about to see something interesting in the Tzvuot Shar. Okay, let's see what the Ktzos says. Uvitzvuot Shar Simon Kafchen, Katavot Evi Hashach, Lo Yadana, I can't understand, My Raya Maiti Mitivei Rosh, what's the proof? V'chi Lo Yadana, the Mitzvah Av, of course the Mitzvah is on the dead. So, okay, we all agree. No one's arguing that the primary mitzvah milah is on dad. Dad has rights to the mitzvah. What's the problem? So what's bothering about the shach and the Ezrua, guys? What's bothering the Ktzos? And the Tzvuah, I should say. What do the Ezrua and the shach jointly say? You can't, if dad could do it, you can't give it over to somebody else. So they ask Joe's question. What do they ask? Wait, did you forget this principle of Shas of Shluchu Shladam Kimoto? So if a husband could ask Shliach to marry for her, betroth the woman for him, So you could, a father could ask somebody to be the shliach for the milah. It's not that the father is somehow abdicating responsibility. He's simply using the agency of shlichut. What's the big deal? Why don't we just say shlucho shaladim kamoto? I've got the question. Pretty good question, right? Okay. And then he goes on to say, a lot of achron were bothered by this. V'chein b'darkei Moshe. Okay, oh, this is good Jewish trivia. Does anybody know who wrote the Darkei Moshe? Oh, that's a tough one. Okay, so there's an interesting parallel between Rabbi Yosef Karo and Moshe Isles. They really I'm telling you, interesting, a little halachic history, guys. Every once in a while, people realize a new code has to be collected. So apparently in the 1500s, there was a realization, oh, we're finishing the period of the Rishonim. Somebody needs to do a new halachic code. So three different people were working on it at the same time. One, okay. No, that's, okay. You got a different threesome. Okay? That's the, whatever, why you brought that in? The Riff Rush and Rambam? All right, you guys got a lot of good general Jewish trivia now. Okay, Jared Feingold. Okay. Rav Yosef Karo says, how am I going to paskin in life? I'm going to rely on the Shlosha Amudei Hora, the three pillars of Psak. Who are his three pillars of Psak? Rosh, Riff, and Rambam. Now, I have to admit, don't quote me on this, it's cheating a little bit. Because anyone know why it's cheating a little bit? Because the Riff and Rambam usually agree. So once you have the three pillars of Psak, the Riff, Rosh, Rambam, usually you're just going Riff, Rambam. Okay. Although the Rosh will do both. I mean, the Rosh, from Germany to Spain or Spain to Germany, probably Germany to Spain. The Rosh was born in Germany and then went to Spain. So the Rosh did come from Ashkenaz. Yeah, Germany to Spain. Okay, but who are the three people working on the new halakha code? Rav Yosef Karo, Rav Moshe Isserles, and a man named Rav Mordechai Yaffe. We'll get to who he was in a second. Okay, what's I going to tell you? Okay, it was almost like a competition. I mean, I don't think they knew about each other, but who was going to finish first? Okay, so who did finish first? Rav Yosef Karo. So Rav Moshe Isserles is sitting there in Krakow. He's thinking, what do I do now? But someone already came out with a book, but he had a brilliant idea. What was his brilliant idea? This book only reflects the Sephardi Psak. Wouldn't it be nice if I added the Ashkenazi Psak into the Sefer, which indeed made that Sefer canonical, because now it has both the Sephardi Psak and the Ashkenazi Psak. Okay, I always feel bad for the third Rav, because the Levush had the same problem, and he got beaten to both the Sephardi Psak and the Ashkenazi Psak. So he just came out with a separate Sefer called the Levush. Why would someone named Rav Mordechai Yaffe call his Sefer the Levush? Okay, this is a phrase in Megillat Esther, Levush Mordechai. Very good. Very good, Ben. Okay, so that's those three. But what's also interesting is both Rav Yosef Karo and Moshe Isserles wrote a concise code, but also a longer commentary on the Torah. Okay, so they both, because the Ben Halacha is both. Sometimes you just want the bottom line. Sometimes you want all the discussion. What's Rav Yosef Karo's commentary on the Torah? Ben Yosef. So now he's going to be able to plug in the rest. Rav Moshe Isserles' commentary on the Torah is called Darkei Moshe. Okay, we're good? So just get into summary for a second, guys. Right? Rav Yosef Karo Paskins based on the three pillars of Psak, Rosh, Riff, Rambam. Rav Moshe Isserles and Rav Yosef Karo produced the Shulchan Aruch Rama, but they also both wrote commentaries on the Torah, Beit Yosef and Darkei Moshe. Okay, back to the Psos. Okay, we are on line 3. V'chein Darkei Moshe v'yadei b'chol milah. Hevi b'shem orzeru d'ima'av mo'al asur l'chabdo l'acher. V'katav Darkei Moshe v'timhani. What's v'timhani? I'm astonished. Shlucho shaladim kamoto. So all the achronim ask the same question. How could the Ozeru and the Shach say, Dad can't give it up? Why can't he give it up? What about the mechanism called Shlichot? Right, so that's the Darkei Moshe's question. That's the Torah Shar's question. Okay, great. Now he says something very clever. Look at the Ktos. Okay, v'lo yirat l'sovdato, my mighty medivrei rush. V'lani udati, demedivrei harush. What happens if you read the rush carefully, guys? Shapir muchach, you can't prove. What does the Ktos say is implicit in the Russian Pesach, guys? That what's true in the context of Mila? Mila is not the kind of mitzvah, Jared, where Shlichot works. Who could tell me why the Rush proves that? Says the Ktos, the Rush must be on the other team here. That we have to come up with some reason why there's no Shlichot in the Mila context. Now, before we get to the rationale in the larger sense, how does the Rush's position show that? Again, who could tell me why? Avery. You know what? No, the Ktos says, if you read the Rush carefully, you see there's no Shlichut in Mila. Who remembers what the Rush said and why it proves there's no Shlichut in Mila? Let's go back. What was the Psak? If you steal someone's Mila, you don't have to pay. Rabbeinu Tam said two reasons. Then what did the Rush say? Yeah, Jordan? Ah, remember the Russia's intriguing plot, guys? When do I have to pay, when don't I have to pay? If Maverick Mole stole it from father, he has to pay. If Maverick Mole stole it from the chosen Mole, then he doesn't have to pay. Wait. If we're applying the mechanism of Shlucho Komoto, what should the psak have been? Exactly. You know what you have to pay. Let's say dad picks Mole A. What's still happening halachically? Dad's doing the mitzvah. It's his shliach. So if Mole B runs in, he's still stealing the... Ever see that? What's the difference? If I say shluchot applies to Mila, the Russia's distinction makes no sense. Whether dad's the Moel or our chosen Moel's the Moel, dad is doing the mitzvah. So what must be, and he's absolutely right, says the Ketos, the Rush must think there's no shluchot in Mila. It doesn't work that way. Right? Dad is supposed to do it, but if dad can't, and he gives it to somebody else, we no longer view it as dad doing the mitzvah. How do we view it now? Sorry, dad can't do it. Somebody else does it. Right? It's not in any way being attributed to the father. Okay? It could be that, how does the halacha work? Dad is the primary mitzvah, but most people aren't moles, so that's it. Just like if you're not a kohen, you can't do a voda. So you're not a mole, you can't do mila, so somebody else does it. Not that he passes the mitzvah to you, somebody else does it. So we still have a lurking question, though. Why does the issue of agency not apply to mila? But you can prove from the rush that it does not. Now, obviously, which other position makes more sense if we say this, guys? Again, we're saying that maybe there's no shlichut for mila. That makes sense of the rush. Which other position have we said today would that make sense of? Another position we said today. Jared Feingold? Exactly. Jared Feingold is also a future Lamed of Israel. Right? Why did Ezra make sense all of a sudden? He says it's usher for dad to give up the mitzvah. Joe Stanton said, but what about shlichut? What's the answer, apparently?
There ain't no shlichut.
There is no, well said. Okay, there is no shlichus in the concept of mitzvah. Okay, just try next time you like a little bit of southern drawl. It'll be really good. Okay? There is no shlichus in a mitzvah. So two things make sense. We still don't know why something's true, but sometimes like you could prove something's true and then try to figure out why. Again, how do we know there's no shlichus in a mitzvah? It makes sense of the rush. It's the difference between stealing from dad and stealing from chosen Baal. It also makes sense of the Ozer and the Shach. That's why dad cannot give it up if dad knows how to do it. Everyone good so far? Any questions on this? We done so far? Great. Okay, now let's skip down to the second paragraph of Ksos. If we could go to the fourth line. See, this starts with Hifsid. See that line?
Hifsid mitzvah
tav. Hifsid mitzvah tav. Okay. Now, let's say someone wants to disagree with Arzurua and the Shach, which I think we're going to see. Not everybody thinks that it's such a big deal if the father should give it over. Why would someone disagree? Why would someone think it's really okay if dad gives over the Mila? So some instincts for us coming up. Here we go. Efshar Lomar, Kibbutz Kvar Gila Ha'av. What's Gila? Nope. Oh, good mistake there. The other meaning of Gila, not from happiness. Zach Katz, was that you? Definitely Freudian. Okay, what does Gila mean here, guys?
Exalted.
Okay. Legalot? Yeah. Ah. The fathers revealed Lasoda Deva De Shliach. Imkain, Bekadmo Acher. Nami Havile Shliach Av. Okay, that is a wild svar. What possibly is the Ksos to us out there? Avery.
Since he already decided that he's
going to. Oh, very good. It's almost like there's two possibilities. One is dad wants to do it. Other possibility, dad's willing to give it over. Sounds like once dad's willing to give it over, how do we take it? Anybody can do it. So if that would be true, what would be the mechanism, guys? Dad picks chosen mole. What happens when Maverick Mole comes into play? What's happening legally? Maverick Mole becomes the shlichut of dad. It's almost like the shlichut is like this ephemeral thing lurking in the air, and anybody could grab it. Oh, I'll grab that shlichut, right? Or no, I'll grab the shlichut. Okay, haven't got this far? So maybe that's way out of the Ozerua. Maybe it's still okay, right? If dad picks A, forget the Ozerua for a second. But if dad picks A, B could step in. Maybe B just becomes the shlichut of the dad. Yeah. Yes, I think there are two good reasons to reject it. What do you say, Jordan? Why would you reject it? Okay, so Jordan's right. Would we say that in other mitzvah? That's a great question. But by the way, what if the answer is yes?
So,
okay, let's clarify Jordan's case. I think you're right, Jordan. Let's say A makes B a shliach to betroth the woman, to do kiddushin. Okay, so can anybody else say, I'm going to grab the ring and do you see? You're right, I think the answer is no. But I do think the shliach himself can make a shliach. But that's not the same case. If I call correctly my Kedushin, Shliach Osir Shliach, but you're right though. It would be unusual.
And also,
Okay, but notice that. Here's why, one reason you like learning, guys. The two opposites could come to the same conclusion. Okay, let me ask the question this way, guys. Give me two different reasons why you might say Mohel B and Mohel A is the same thing. Give me two different svaras for that. Okay, put it, get it down, guys. It's going to be on the final. Right? Two different svaras why Mohel B stepping in makes no difference. One possible is what we just said. That when Mohel B steps in, he becomes the shliach. What's the other possibility? Exactly. If there's no shliach, you have anything. You come to the same conclusion. You could say B and A are the same because even when Abba appoints A, there is no shlichut in the world of Mila. So at that point, A and B are the same because neither of them is the shliach of the dead. Conversely, you could say the ketosis new svara that whoever jumps in seizes the shlichus mantle, so then they're the same again. Right? Now I admit it's a difficult svara, but those two opposites come to the same conclusion. Okay? Anyone good? Anyone said another svara against the ketosis? Who can tell me why the ketosis is wrong? He's going to say himself why he's wrong. Why wouldn't it work that way, that whoever jumps in becomes the shliach? Yeah, Jared?
It seems weird to get out of shliach against the original person.
Exactly. Yeah, everyone say the same thing?
Yeah,
it's
the same
issue.
Like, if you're
choosing
someone to be
demoted, it's basically... Oh, excellent. So let's read, guys. The Ketosis is going to have a killer critique of his own svar. Dafilu heicha... Oh, good yeshivish word come, guys. Hurry, Balsam. Ready? What does it mean to have a kapeta? What does it mean to have a kapeta about something?
A kapeta?
Yeah. No, near Israel, let's like say you say, you might say, some say, are you machbid about this? What do they want to know?
Oh, machbid means very, meticulous or strict.
Okay, good. Meticulous, good word. Okay, so, by the way, you could have a kapeda in a non halakha context. Like, what might be a kapeda in a non halakha context? I don't know, who's here is very particular about the what?
WhatsApp grammar, please.
What's that, what?
The WhatsApp grammar, please. The only, you know, in group chat, those guys was like,
oh, okay.
You
wouldn't know. All right. Fine. So to have a potato means to care. To be meticulous. I care about this. I want it to be this way, not the other way. Right? To be punctilious or pedantic, one of those things. Okay, so now, what does it say here? Afilu eicha deleka potato. Let's say Jared's wrong. What if the father does not care at all who the mole is? Right? So you might say, then the svar is a good svar. The father doesn't care. No. Nami lavi shlucho imlo aso b'feirush. What's his first argument, guys? There's going to be two arguments. But this one is saying, I think it's a bad svara even if dad is indifferent. Why is it a bad svara even if dad's indifferent? What's lo aso b'feirush? Exactly. Maybe has the shlich, maybe no captain. Has the shlichut mechanism work only if A explicitly makes B? You could assume, oh, he doesn't care, it could be me. Maybe it's just not that it works legally. But you might see the system should have definitive rules. If you make a shliach, it's your shliach. You can't assume shliach. So even if dad's indifferent, it's a bad svara. But then he goes on to say, v'od, a little slice of psychology here, d'chazinan d'kapti inchi tuva. What's tuva? A lot. So what's, put those things together, chazinan d'kapti inchi tuva. What do we see in this world? What would that mean? Kapti inchi tuva. Inchi is? People. Good, anashim. People really care. Do you really think it's true that, please God, you'll all be happy fathers one day, you'll have a son? Are you going to be totally indifferent to the molars? Ah, anybody can do it. Right? You might care. Maybe there's some family friend, maybe you'll have the person who did your mila, be very exciting, right? The father-son duo, right? It could be a lot of emotional connections, why you want a particular person to do it, right? Just to give you an example, okay? Oh, Ravadi, you didn't have any sons in Israel, right? You came with a baby. Okay, there's a pediatrician in Efrat named Yossi Orbach. He's actually really a tzaddik, one of the tzaddikim of our time. So there's two interesting things about him. His father was a famous scholar named Ephraim Orbach, wrote one book called Chazal and one book called Bali HaTosfot. Okay, you can figure out what they're about. Okay, and this Yossi Orbach is a doctor in Moel. He's done a frightening amount of milas, and he's just like a wonderful human being. So I wanted him to do it. Right? I don't want like any other mole to do it. It's true, it could have been just as kosher if somebody else had done it. But you have a good feeling, Yossi Orbach, one of the righteous men of our times, did the mila. Right? It makes you feel good. Okay, I even remember, it was a very strong image in my mind, at Sadok Sprit, our third son. So Rav Lichtenstein was the sanduk. So it's one of my favorite pictures, because you have Yossi Orbach and Rav Lichtenstein staying next to each other, and Sadok. Right? So that's one of my favorite pictures. Okay? So now... I mean, Sadok, not looking so good, but okay. But, so, what's the claim here? People do care. So, if people do care, that would work against the svar. Everyone got it? Okay, so now, what do we have so far? First, it's so suggested, maybe when Maverick Mole kicks in, jumps in, he becomes the de facto shliach. But there are two very good arguments against that. A, maybe there's no such thing as de facto shliach. You have to be appointed. B, what was argument B just now? He does care. What do you mean he doesn't care? Of course he cares. Okay, so we reject that svar. Okay? But now let's go back to the question. So if we're going to reject that svar, we're back to the question, well, why isn't there shlichut? Right? If we have shlichut in other halakha areas, why is there no shlichut? So guys, wake up now. You're going to see an extremely famous piece. Okay, go down to the line that begins with La'av. See the lines of La'av? At the end of the line, Nira? You guys ready to go? Okay, Nira, now we're going to have a chiddush, and I want you guys to, afterwards we're going to try to counter the chiddush. Nira lefima shekata betosud rid perak ish makadish. Very famous Tosud rid. Hey, where's Mitrani? Tosud rid is from Italy. Okay, in fact, he's from Trani. Okay, it says the Tosud rid. Vizela shano. Yesh makshe. Some have a killer question. Imkein lechol dvar mitzvah yoil hashliach. Right, guys, the concept of shlichut, I see most of you know this because they do a lot of Gemara and Rambam. Okay, the concept of shlichut is in the second parak of Kiddushin. And there we have shlichut. So says the Tosus Rid. Let's take this concept of shlichut of agency and run with it. How would it work? Great deal coming up. The Yomer the Mecharoshim Besuka Avari Hanach Tfilin Avari. What a move! Right, Avi, you could go back to not go to Shacharis. It'd be just great. You'll just make Moses Bibi your make Moses Bibi your shliach. Moses, I'm not feeling today. You're my shliach for Shacharis. Right, you do everything. You're my shliach to eat the sukkah. Right, you're my shliach to take a lulav to put on tefillin. Like once you've got this concept of agency. Maybe we should apply it across the board. But now, obviously, we don't. Obviously, we've done it. But why not? We have shlichut. You can make a shlichut to marry. Now, we're going to get solid, guys. Here we go. This is not the most important part of the year. Why not? The lav milti. It's not a good svara. But I am three lines from the end of the ksos. But he's really quoting the tosis right now. The tosis is a very important mishnah. Sha mitzvah shechai makum lasot begufo. Hey, chyiftu wadi shlucho. And I think these are important four words. Vehu lo yaseh klum. Okay, what did the Torah read? Has this known in the world of Yeshiva? Shlichut does not apply to mitzvot shebegufo. Okay, just say that, right, guys? There's like a Yeshivish guy on the bus. Oh, Avi Hartz did a great thing this week, guys. Avi and Jordan were on the bus with some Yeshivish guy, and he asked them, what are they learning? And they said, Ksuvas. And Avi, just to make conversation, blurted out, Sveik Sveika. It was a great move. It made the guy happy. Okay, so you try that. So next time you're with a Yeshivish guy on the bus, say, I learned that shlichut does not apply to mitzvot shebegufo. Okay, so what would that mean? Well, how can you make a shliach to sit in a sukkah for you? It's classic. Mitzvah shebegufo. Your body has to be there. How can you make a shliach to put on tefillin for you? It's mitzvah shebegufo. Okay, so this is a very important category. It explains why there isn't shlichut for a whole bunch of mitzvot. But what might we have to ask now? Let's go back to those mitzvot where there is shlichut and check why are they not like mitzvah shebegufo. Okay, but Moses, what's your point though about Mila? What could you say now? Ah, so wait, hang in there. So let's go out of order. Jacob, I'll get to you in 1 second. Your story is going to go crucial in a minute, Jacob. Okay, let's go out of order for a second. What's the Ksos going to use to explain with this principle? Wait, what about Mila? What could one argue now? Maybe Mila is mitzvah. That's what he's arguing. Yeah, we're going to quibble it in 1 second. Okay, I'm going to catch what Ksos just said. Maybe what's the mitzvah Mila? Dad, just like dad has to take a lulav, just like dad has to sit in the sukkah, dad has to circumcise his kid. Since that's mitzvah shebegufo, that's why there's no agency. Okay, let me just summarize this 1 second. If you just got this, I'm happy, but we're going to do even more deeply in 1 second. Okay, what do we have? So at this point, we have the rush, the friendship between stealing from dad and stealing from somebody else. We have the Azur and the Shach saying if dad's capable, he shouldn't give it over. What's the common assumption of both of them? There's no shlichot in Mila, right? That's common both to the rush and to the Azur slash Shach position. There's no shlichut in Mila. Right? Why would there be no shlichut in Mila? It's part of a larger principle. Let's go to that famous Tosfos written in Kiddushin. There's no shlichut on mitzvah shebegufo, sukkah, tzitzis, tefillin. Mila is mitzvah shebegufo. The whole sukkah comes together beautifully. Okay, now, Jacob Katz.
For sitting in sukkah, there are like two kiddushin and one masa. So like, part of it is actually sitting down, but part of it is like acknowledging God's presence. So you have somebody, you can have somebody do that for you.
You could or could not?
No.
Ah, very interesting. Wow, Rav David, Jacob Katz is coming to London. Okay, wow, very good. You want to claim that there's a heightened consciousness in sukkah, and that can't be done vicariously. So I'm going to give you a source that helps you out. Give me 1 second. 1 second, Yossi. There's a very interesting question in general, like when do we prefer communal performance, when do we prefer everyone do it themselves? So if I recall correctly, both for tefillah and for shema, we're really not so crazy about vicarious performance. Now, I admit we do have Chazaras Hashatz, I admit that, but who's Chazaras Hashatz really for, guys?
The illiterate.
Yeah, exactly. Who said that? Exactly, absolutely correct. Okay, Chazar Neshatz is really just for somebody who can't daven by themselves. If you can daven yourself, Chazar Neshatz was never meant for you. You're supposed to do it yourself. And Shema is the same way. So I think there's something to be said for what Jacob said. Maybe, like, certain fundamental religious endeavors, how can they possibly be vicarious? Right? Oh, someone else will be makaba omach for me. A little bit of a funny idea, right? Okay, so at that point, it's a good far. But just one thing, though, Jacob, I like what you said very much, but notice it might be unique to Sukkah, right? Tosfot is a much larger principle, right? All mitzvot shebegufo, there's no shlichus. According to your svar, you have to say, that's true about tefillin also, that's true about tzitzis, which might be correct, but...
No, but it could also work the opposite way, because they're too given, and if you just fill one of them, then you fill the mitzvah, so maybe like they can actually fill it, because they just...
Right, except for one thing, Jacob. Sometimes in analysis, it's a little bit like, you know, you have certain facts, you're trying to come a theory that covers the facts. So it sounds like we already know there's no shlichus for Sukkah and tefillin. Like, that's the facts we start with. Now we're trying to figure out why. Okay? I'm not aware of anybody who suggested you could have filled film and sukkah through agency. Yeah?
I was just saying that you mentioned the Shiv Tzibur.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, it very parallels the case of the model very much. The only reason why the Shiv Tzibur doesn't know how to die.
Okay.
And he gives it over to the Shiv Tzibur.
Right.
Even though we call him the Shiv Tzibur, he's not necessarily Shiv Tzibur because someone else could just hop in and do the...
Okay.
Shots,
oh, you're fair. Interesting. You're saying, let's say, like, as we say, you know, X, go down mincha, and as X is walking up, like, Y runs ahead of him and starts the ashrate again. Right? Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, it's a good point. Okay, everyone go to that? Okay, so let's go. Yeah, y'all see the bearded one.
And what about something like Kiddush or...
excellent. So this is very interesting Aruch HaShulchan. Yossi, I'm just going to give you guys food for thought. You could have said, Yossi, very good. You could have said the same is true about Kiddush. Somehow we don't say that there. If anyone has any theory about that, come over to lunch, tell me. Right? Somehow in Kiddush, we pick a different principle. There's a principle called Berov Am Hadrat Melech. Okay, what does the Berov Am Hadrat Melech principle say?
The more people, the merrier.
Yes. There's some joy or some power to communal performance. Right? Think about Berov Am, if there's a multitude of the people. Hadrat Melech, that leads to the glory of the king. So somehow, I don't know, I can't even explain why, but in Tefillah and in Shema, we say, that can't be vicarious. Every person for himself. When it comes to Kiddush, we actually like the idea of one person saying Kiddush for the group. Okay? Yossi, it's a good question. I'm just reiterating it, but we seem to plug in a different principle when it comes to Kiddush. Okay, Simon?
We use the Baruch HaMadra Melech for meeting too.
Look, it's true. I just wouldn't push it too far. Because there are a lot of... Let me clarify this, guys. There's always going to be clashes of values in minyan. Like, one clash might be, I don't know, let's say... Vatikin without a minion verse, minion but not Vatikin, right? We value Vatikin, we value minion, which one wins? Right? So I'd say the same thing. Rov Am Hadra Melech is certainly a value, but I don't say it always beats other values. Let's think about it, Simon. What would be the implication if it always beats other values? What would the old city have to do? Maybe we should all have one minion at the Kotel at 7:15 every day, right? It'd be really tough. We'd have to like get along with Natid and Yeshiva at Kotel. Okay, hand her over for that, okay? So, but we don't do that, right? We don't say so. Obviously, Rov Am Hadra Melech is a obviously we'd say Rov Hadra Melech is a value, but not that it always overcomes every other question in life. Yeah, Joe.
Why do we apply Rov Am Hadra Melech when the person is not a king?
No, because it's not. We're doing it for God. God is the king in the imagery. Right? That Kiddush is about recognizing God's creation and Shabbat, so let's do that in a group context. A group setting will be more dignified, more pomp and circumstance. Okay? Any other questions on that? That's a good slide up. Yeah, Zach. Okay. That's a very good shir kolei topic, but I think I did it once. I'm trying not to repeat. Okay? Zach, let's know the last mitzvah in Torah is mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. So you want to know, can you do that through Shlichut?
Yeah.
That's a very good question, not for us right now. Okay, everyone good so far? Okay, so let's get, John.
Do you apply the role of Hadra Melech for like learning Torah the base? You want to be ready together and one thing to like set together?
Look, I'm not sure if it like technically applies, but certainly has a value for sure. Like, it's why, one of the reasons like I would make fun of the guys who are going to decide if they're antisocial or not. Because I think everybody who's in the base like contributes to the atmosphere of the group. Yeah, there's certain power there. Okay, John Seidel, you learn in the base?
Yes, I
will. Okay. Great. Okay, let's get to the last thing here, guys. So we now have a good svara why. John. Jacob.
Are we saying in real life, is it mitzvah shebegufo?
Yes, that's what Ktosis is saying. Okay. No, we're about to counter it. Okay, if we stop here right here, what do we have? Ktosis theory, Mila is mitzvah shebegufo. That explains why there's no shlichut. Okay? Now, most of us, as far as I know, people are not so makbid for the Shach and Ozerua theory. Right? So if you're not makbid for the Shach, meaning, it's not such a big deal if dad gives it up, let dad give it up to somebody else. Now, you can say that practically, you can say it halachically. Let's try the last part of Shir, guys, a practical argument and a halachic argument. I think the Aruch HaShulchan is a bit more practical. Look at the Aruch HaShulchan in Source 8. Said the Aruch HaShulchan of Yechiel Mechlepsti, Mishi Yechol Lamo Batzmo, let's say you're a mole, you could do it, or you're not a professional mole, but you know how to do it. Vadei Ein Lo L'chabed Achirim Limo, V'yaseu Hamila. So it sounds like the Shach and Ozerua, right? If you know how to do it, don't give it over. Amnam Him Acher Moel Tov Mimenu. But what's one other possibility? Yeah, well, he's a great mole. He's done 4,000 milas and nothing's ever gone wrong. So even if you know how, you might prefer him, right? O Shema Mifnei Tivo Yikalkel. Oh, sorry, Shacharad, sorry. Yeah, what might you say also? It might be a little bit easier to do a mila for somebody else's kid than your kid. So your hands are trembling a bit, right? Now, I would suggest, correct me if I'm wrong, this is kind of like a very practical argument. What's the Aruch HaShulchan thinking? Maybe it's not such a great idea for dad to do it. Maybe someone who doesn't have all the tension, that's your own son, doesn't have that emotional background, let them do it. Okay, maybe that's the justification. You know what it's a little bit like? My wife used to like to say this. You know, people think it's very romantic at chuppahs when, like, the chatan sings as the kala is coming down. Okay, but my wife says, like, the reason why you get somebody else to sing at that point. He's usually a little nervous. Singing doesn't come out that well. Let your friend, who's a good singer, sing. Okay, so now, let's go back, though. Can we come up with a lumdish response? Okay, one more thing with the last lumdish response. We said it doesn't apply to mitzvah shebegufo. When does shlichut apply? So let's go back to the last two lines of Ksos, guys. Bivadai bikidushin of geirushin. Mahane. What's the claim? When it comes to marriage or divorce, there, shlichut does work. Why? Aren't you physically giving the ring? Why does shlichut work? Ki hu amagarish v'lo hashliach. What's the claim? So, guys, see, you put it in sharp conceptual terms here. Why does shlichut work for kiddushin and gerushin and not for sukkah and lulav? What's the difference in those two kinds of cases?
Because the mitzvah of milah is on the father.
Don't bring milah yet. We have to milah last. Yeah, Moses.
Because in a case like sukkah, in a case like lulav, the shliach would be the one who's like taking the lulav and
okay.
Sitting in the sukkah. But when it comes to like gerushin and kiddushin, it's the person who's sending the shliach who's becoming.
Okay, excellent. I don't know if you're afraid of Moses. I don't know if you get the point, guys. In mitzvah shebegufo, Jacob Katz, you're really on the money here. Mitzvah shebegufo, there's only one thing going on. What's the one thing going on? A physical act. So if you're not doing the physical act, you're not doing anything. Right? All there is the masa. In kedushin geirushin, it's true there's a physical act, but there's something else going on. There's the physical act, and there is the status, right? If you want to use the yeshiva term, there's a chalos, right? Something takes effect, right? And that thing that takes effect could be related back to the sender. If that's true, I even like the words that Ksos used. What the words that Ksos used for sukkah? He said, "Hu lo yaseh klum." You couldn't say "Hu lo yaseh klum" in the kedushin gerushin case because something's happening to him. He is involved in the equation, right? He's the one getting married. He's the one who said, "Take my ring and bring it there." So once there's something else going on, there can be shlichut. Okay, we agree so far. So if that's true, let's get to the last point of this year, right? We said if it's only a physical act, there's no shlichut. If there's a chalot, something else being created, a status being created, then there can be shlichut, because that status is what the mishaleach is involved in. Okay, now for the million-dollar question, guys. Which category, if that split is true, where should Brit Milah fit in? Is Brit Milah more like sukkah lulav, or is Brit Milah more like kiddushin gerushin? What do you guys say? Okay, so the Ksos thinks it's more like sukkah lulav. All there is a physical act, and therefore, if you didn't do it, you did nothing. So there's no shlichut. Does anybody in the room disagree with that? That mila is more like the sukkah lulav parallel and not like the kedushin gerushin. Remy.
Yes, the status of truth.
Excellent. Beautiful. Remy, put that in your achronish sefer. Right. The Bach HaChadash. Yeah, I didn't make it up. That was Jordan Cohen. By the way, if you guys need a nickname for your sefer, Jordan Cohen is excellent. Okay, go to Jordan Cohen. Okay, so the Bach is the great svar. What?
It is the status of the Jew, but it also is the, isn't it the mitzvah of the father?
No, but you could say as follows. I think Jacob Katz was alluding to this before. Sukkah and lulav is just an act. Meal is an act, but the act is entering your son into the covenant. So there's a result that matters also. There's a result above and beyond the act. It's almost like a status takes effect. I have successfully entered my son into the Brit. If that's true, it's more like Kedushin and Gershin. I might not have physically done it, but Jacob, I like what you've heard before, but I've arranged for my son to the Brit. It's like I picked the ring and gave it to you to go marry somebody. So I picked the Moel and took care of the covenant entry for my child. And therefore, there would be shlichut. I'm just going to sum up the whole shiur. You guys did a great job here. You guys are getting really good at lumdus svaras, and we'll take Moses' question. Okay, what do we have once again? We have the Ozer and the Shach think you shouldn't give milah to somebody else. We have the concept that you steal a mitzvah, you pay a fine of 10 gold coins. Says the Rosh, when do you pay in milah? If you steal it from dad, you pay. If you steal it from other moel, you don't. Why not? So at one point, I'm going to add one second, the Ketos had a wacky svara. What did the Ketos want to claim? Once you gave it to this moel, any of the moels the same. He grabs the shlichus mantle. What were the two reasons that didn't work out? A, maybe shlichut means it has to be explicit. B, maybe you really do care. If you do care, you picked A and not B. Okay, let's go back again. How do we explain both the Orzer Roshach and the Rosh with the Ketosis Svar? What does the Ketos say? Shlichut does not apply to Mitzvah Shibagufo. And has the Ketos Yumila? Mila is Mitzvah Shibagufo. That's why there's no shlichut. That's why those who are in the Shach say if dad knows how to do it, he shouldn't give it over. That's why the Rosh differentiates between stealing from dad and stealing from the Moel. Terrific. What about the fact that we're not so machmed for this, that the dad should do it for the Shach? See, Aruch HaShulchan was more practical. Dad's hands are trembling. He's nervous. Smarter to give it to somebody else. But I think you go with Remi Nuas, the Bach's Svara. You could say as follows, right? You could say, no. Wait, don't forget. There's no Shlichut for Sukkah. There is Shlichut for Kedushin and Gerushin. Why? Because there's a status generated above and beyond the Maaseh. It's not just the physical act. It's getting married. It's getting divorced. What if Mila's like that also? You are entering your son into the Brit. That's above and beyond, right, the physical act. If that's true, even if I accept the Tosas Rid, I can still say Mila's on the other side of the divide. So there is Shlichut, and that from that perspective, an Abba would be able to give it over. Moses.
So according to the Bach, I feel like you would make that line between status and action pretty alert.
Okay, look.
I could say that if I buy a lulav for somebody, then I'm setting up the opportunity for him.
Correct, except that, you're right, Moses. Once Remy says, you have to question like how much to extend that. But I would point out, we tend not to think of lulav as having like larger implications to identity and status. I just say this, it's easier to argue that Mila has identity status implications than to say that lulav does. Just... I'll give one last proof in the end, but after I leave. Yeah.
So I'm just getting it clear. So Mila now, it's considered, right, in the logic, applying the logic of Kedushin and Gerushin and no uplifting status. Shlichus is...
I'm not saying everyone would agree with that. Ketos obviously explained it otherwise. But I'm saying if you wanted to disagree with the Shach or Zeruch Ketos, the Bach has a good svara how to do so. But I have one last proof to make most of you be happy. Who's been to a Mila recently? How many brachot do we make? Well, one bracha is Asher Kitchanu Mustav Tzivanu Al Hamila. That's not so surprising. It sounds like every other brick in a mitzvah in Jewish history. What's the bracha right after that? Anyone? Lachniso Bebrito Shalva Mavino. Doesn't that help Remi Svara? We're not only doing an act, we are doing a Knisat HaBrit. Right? There's another element to the endeavor. All right, everybody should have a wonderful weekend. Looking forward to the deal.